Hello and welcome back to the Cynical Podcast. I'm Reese.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Jake. Today we're discussing Perfect Blue and Black Swan, the second of which was suggested for CineClub by our own editor, Emily. The two films that, while seeming vastly different on the surface, have had a lot of comparisons drawn between them through their themes and subject matter. Were they both as good as each other, or did one in particular take your preference?
Perfect Blue.
Perfect Blue. Yeah.
Perfect Blue.
Both. Yay. Okay. End of the episode.
Wow.
No, Black Swan's still pretty good. It's, yeah. Well, like, out of my ranking for the films that I've seen this year, it's like, Black Swan's still up there and Perfect Blue's just a little bit ahead. It's, like, I just think, obviously, Perfect Blue was the original and it sort of handles it a lot more effectively and concisely compared to Black Swan.
Yeah.
What do you mean by it?
Well, just the subject matter.
The subject matter, okay. Because here's the thing, right? I am a defender, a slight defender of Aronofsky in this case. I don't, like, everyone I saw is acting like it is a frame-by-frame remake.
Nah, it's not a frame-by-frame remake.
Not exactly
it's
the same.
It's very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are similar subject matter. But, well, first off, should we talk about the similarities? Like, what is the same about it? Obviously,
some of the shots.
Yeah, really? Oh, yes, they are.
Some of the shots are quite
the characters. Not
you're really going in on this.
Not really. You're an absolute hater. Wow.
I'm not an absolute hater. I just, at the time, it was really annoying being the only one who knew how much it had lifted exactly from Perfect Blue.
Uh-huh.
And like I say, I'm the same. I think Black Swan's really good and I still really enjoyed Black Swan for what it is. And it took us on a whole other emotional journey of, like, you know, oh, this is like so perplexing and quite, and you know, it's really deep and it's got plenty of stuff Perfect Blue doesn't have. I think the performances in Black Swan are really good.
Yeah.
And like, for what it is, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a very similar film to Perfect Blue. And if you've seen Perfect Blue first, which I had at that point, and I'd seen Perfect Blue not that long before, I just remember thinking, oh, this is good, but I'd rather be watching Perfect Blue.
Wow.
If you know what I mean.
Okay.
But like I say, I'm not saying that in the sense that, like, that Black Swan is a bad film, because it's not. It's still really, really good.
Yeah.
It's just a slightly more sourceless version.
Do you think that Black Swan's only good because Perfect Blue's good?
No. I think, well, it's like a snake eating its own tail, because, like, would Black Swan exist if Perfect Blue didn't exist? Yeah. But, like, Black Swan works in its own, like, it works on its own. The ending's, like, completely different. There's no, like, imposter in the same way that there is in Perfect Blue, really.
Yeah. Because
it's just Natalie Portman being, like, schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, it does vary enough so that it's not, like, a carbon copy. The similarities are there, but, like, not to, like, an egregious degree to me.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. See, I don't think it's, like, as much of a remake as I think people think it is, because I was scrolling Twitter, big mistake, a few days before I watched Perfect Blue, and I saw this tweet that said, oh yeah, like, there's no bigger, like, thief in Hollywood than Darren Aronofsky taking Perfect Blue and making it in Black Swan.
Yeah, like,
and everyone's like, oh yeah, I know Black Swan's just like a shot-for-shot remake, isn't it? Like,
it's really,
like,
not. It's not.
It's its own film. It stands apart in its own right.
Well, yeah,
I think,
because, like, Perfect Blue, it's someone transitioning from pop star to actress and, like, all the sort of things that come with that, while Black Swan, it's about ballet. So apples and oranges.
Yeah. Do you think it'd be the same if, because Darren Aronofsky reportedly doesn't like to give credit to
this is the thing that bothers us about it. Yeah. Like,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, he says, oh, with any inspirations, any anime inspirations, hint, like, nudging him. He's like, I've never heard of it.
They've tried to bait, like, some sort of credit to Satoshi Kon out of him multiple times, and he refuses to give that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, that's pretty scummy. And I think, in, like I say, in a time that we live where we're, like, cutting down on so many directors, you know, taking the lazy way out and doing all of these sort of things, I think the way that he got away with that so scot-free, won shitloads of Oscars for that film. And like I say, and it's a combination of that, and also it bugs us that I just know for a fact, if Black Swan was released nowadays as a Netflix original and it was called Perfect Blue, people would go apeshit. They would say this is the worst film ever made. And it's, you know, and like I say, it's not a frame-by-frame remake. It's not. But a lot of these remakes aren't that similar anyway. And like, you know, just food for thought, if that was, you know, the context it was released in, people would hate it. They really would. Yeah, I think,
didn't they make like a Netflix Lupin remake or something? Or was that just like completely coincidental?
They did, yeah. Yeah, which
where he was like bold and French or something.
Well, that was interesting because that was more of a Netflix adaptation of the French novels, which the anime also was sort of adapting. Yeah. But it took quite a lot of nods from the anime, which I thought was quite cool because it was kind of a blend of both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I mean? Like I sound like I'm ragging on Black Swan, but
I know. There's venom in your voice.
But do you know what I mean? Like, if that context changed, like Twitter would be insane. People would be up in arms, and like
people would be like canceling Netflix, and like it would be remembered like the same as like Netflix Cowboy Bebop. Yeah,
exactly that.
Thing,
that.
Yeah?
Like
just as a remake that is embarrassed about the original.
Yes,
in a way. Yeah,
exactly
yeah.
that. Yeah, that's the thing.
See, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like if Aronofsky gave credit to...
It's clobbering time!
Christ.
I think if he gave credit
If he gave a bit of credit,
then it would be seen more as an homage than a rip-off.
Yes, exactly.
But because
that,
he's so like, oh, Perfect Blue, what's Perfect Blue? like about it. Then.
Well, it's the same reason why people getting mad about Avatar really annoys us, because the whole criticism people have with Avatar is that it's not original enough, which makes...
Avatar?
Like Avatar,
not the last Airbender,
James Cameron's Avatar. People
rag
exactly that. People rag on James Cameron's Avatar because it's like not original enough. Mm-hmm. But like, who decides that? Like, because you know, there's plenty of things out
Nothing's original.
Nothing's really that original. It's like the biggest criticism everybody. And this was such a thing when the sequel was coming out. People went nuts about like Avatar was never good. You know, it was only good because it was 3D. It's mm-hmm. unoriginal. It's uninspired. It's just a rubbish film. James Cameron should be ashamed.
No, he shouldn't.
I don't have a problem with Avatar. There's like nothing about that where I thought, oh, this is ripped off from something else.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It's just, it's a similar story
uh-huh.
to other things.
Yeah.
But a lot of this stuff is. So it's like, you know, it's that sort of weird thing where people just decide, oh, somebody said that Black Swan's
a
rip-off.
Yeah, exactly. I think
Perfect
it's just
Blue.
A weird case where people have picked up on it.
People
like,
pick up
heard,
on it.
Heard on the grapevine, so just start believing
exactly
it.
Exactly that. Because there's so many other films you could say mm-hmm. stole
so much,
stuff from anime.
Yeah,
like,
there's so much to love about Black Swan as well. Again, Natalie Portman's great in it.
Exactly.
There's the body
that.
Horror elements, which Perfect Blue just doesn't
That's
have
true,
at
which
all.
I thought were really
the whole
cool.
thing of turning into the Black Swan. I love the effect. I love the... I feel like it's a lot more psychologically weird than Perfect Blue is.
Although
Perfect Blue,
say that.
It can get there. It gets there
but
at times.
You've got like that
towards
stalker
the
nutcase, like one of my favourite shots in it, where it's just like the dingy, horrible room with all the posters as well. Man. She's just stood next to him glowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah, that whole element it just isn't there. Like, the main characters there, Mima and Nina, obviously.
I mean, come on. This is what I was saying at the time. This is why it wound us up so much.
Mima and Nina are there.
Yeah.
Right? But Black Swan feels more like a story about... From the ballet side, it's more a story about the history of ballet and how it's always been a systematic exploitation of women.
Which is totally different.
Which is good because the manager and that's the evil,
Vincent
horrible,
Cassell, I'm going to kiss you
weird,
now,
like,
yeah.
But then
the
you say
guy.
That it's completely different, but like in Perfect Blue, it sort of it goes into that, like the how like to be considered a serious actress, she basically has to like bear it all.
Herself,
film which, a rape scene to try and...
Establish yourself and all
that. And
the criticism of the mediums, the industries, is still there. Like, the Japanese idol industry is all about that as well. It's all about...
Well, I think it is done more effectively in Black Swan, I'll give you that. Because, mm-hmm. like, you get to the end of this and obviously she's done all of this in Perfect Blue and, like, at the end... What's the older woman called?
The older one, her manager. I can't remember her name.
It's like Mima and Nina. I think she might be Nina. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, she's Mima's manager.
She's cast off to the side, but like the main protagonist, she's completely fine and she's still going about her life. She's successful. She drives off and like the sort of glimmer that's been associated with like this obsession and the sort of fracture.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the rearview mirror, literally. And while she drives off, but meanwhile, it's sort of in Black Swan, it completely consumes her, and then eventually well, you assume it kills her in the end.
Yeah, Mima gets to escape because Rumi is the name of the
Rumi,
manager.
There you go.
Because, like, that's the thing, half of it, well, all of Black Swan is a story about obsession and how the industry affects you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rumi is an interesting case as well in Perfect Blue because she's kind of cast aside. She wanted to be an idol.
Yeah.
It says she wanted to be an idol, she wanted to be an actor. She wanted to be who Mima is, really.
Yeah.
So she decides to live vicariously through it and then goes a bit nuts. The whole finale of the film happens. And that's a really interesting thing. But it's just a good commentary on it, I think. She's a good commentary. The sexualization, exploitation of women, it flips sides.
Yeah.
Because in Black Swan, it's the manager, it's the people in control of her career. Whereas in Perfect Blue, it's the fans, the like obsessive, like otaku fans, like the very creepy guy.
Totally. No,
like, you notice in that first scene of like me performing with a idol group, all blokes in the crowd, all guys,
all creepy dudes. Yeah.
And I found that way. I was thinking, did they just forget to make women in this film?
That's just what the industry's like.
It's just an old choice.
Japan.
It's the whole thing. It's nuts.
I think vibes wise, they've both got very good vibes to them.
Yeah.
Very distinct.
Very distinct. I think, I don't know. I feel like it's entirely like, this is the thing. I think it'll depend what, it'll all be up to your own personal preference. Mm-hmm. I think another part of the reason I like Perfect Blue is because I just feel like it answers less questions and has a much more sort of mind fuck kind of thing going where like I know Black Swan does that. It that was another one where I was like, fuck me, I have no idea what's going on now but the thing with Black Swan is then you do and then you're like, oh, I know what's going on now. Where Perfect Blue, you kind of get a bit more of that, but there's still quite a lot of unanswered questions.
They keep it going for a lot longer in Perfect Blue. I think it's until that very end scene of Rumi, because you think about the chat room and how that's affecting her.
I love that
bit. The whole bit where she's attacked by the crazy fan.
Yeah.
That bit really like messed with my mind.
Well, that's it, isn't it? There's like so many bits in it where you're just like, oh my God, I don't know whether this is actually happening or if this is real or
In Black Swan, you kind of like, obviously she starts turning into a bird, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
that's guaranteed to not be real.
But I agree. I think Perfect Blue does the distortion of reality better, like the blurred lines.
Totally. Yeah.
But like the only thing that I would say caught me off, like whether it was real or whether it was fake, was when Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis like get together.
After
the night out, like when that was like, oh, that never happened. I was like, really? That didn't happen.
That's the thing, though. I think it's just a bit more on the nose in Black Swan because there's a lot of moments where it's like, oh, wow, that's a total twist. And then it's like, what do you mean? That never happened? It's like, oh, that never happened. Okay. And then you know what I mean? Like,
Do you feel like it's like pulling the rug out from you just because?
Just for the sake of it.
Exactly that. Like, there's a lot of moments where you're just a bit like, oh, okay, right. So that never happened. So what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And then eventually you're just like, oh, well, is there a... Because it gets to a point where, I mean, they make it okay because they sort of like... By the end, they tied all together, but there was a point in Black Swan where I was a bit like, should I really care about any of this? Because, like, is this happening or not? Like, are they just going to do that again, you know? Are they going to pull the rug again? Yeah. But you could argue that Perfect Blue kind of does the same thing as well.
Yeah. But Perfect Blue, everything that happens is real. People get murdered. People...
Yeah, well, that's true.
Rumi's trying to manipulate the chat room's real. All that, like, all the stuff's real. Whereas Black Swan... is mostly turned into a bird, and that's the freaky bits.
Whereas the freaky
bits in Perfect Blue are real. Like Black Swan must be such a weird experience from an outside perspective. if you're not seeing her, if you're a normal person, you're not seeing her turn into a bird. You're not in her head.
That's true.
You just see her
like,
get really, really too deep into her work, and then she just dies.
Black Swan from the mom's perspective would have been quite entertaining. Yeah. I think that would just be like just completely driving her mental, and then dying. It's like, I mean, it's just. It's just so strange. Uh-huh. I mean, you're right, but you're right about the body horror though, because like Black Swan has the whole thing with like, you know, like she has all of the like the itch and the fingernails and the broken like toes and all. Like it's awful.
It is horrible.
That was like really not something that I like. You know, it was like that was like that's like effectively like unsettling. You know, because it's like. It's not too far-fetched, like, turning into a bird. It's like, oh, that could happen.
It's like, at the same level as, like, a werewolf transformation. She doesn't, like... There's not, like, a puff of purple smoke and then she's a crow.
Yeah, exactly like, that. It's like, oh, that would be painful.
It's a horrible, grueling transformation.
Yeah.
It's a good metaphor for how our mental state is. I think that's really good.
Totally.
But it doesn't blur the lines as much as Perfect Blue does.
I do think they use the music really well in Black Swan as well, which I thought was cool. Like, that's another thing that Perfect Blue doesn't do. I mean, I know it's got like J-pop songs and everything, and it's a whole different subject matter, but the whole, like you say, the fact that ballet is the constant throughout that entire film, and they use that like Swan Lake music, and it's like, I mean, you know, you could put that music over anything and it would make it seem like the most dramatic, immense thing ever. But like, it's really cool in that film. And like, whenever they do it and you see her like perform, or like they sort of just use that, it's like, oh God, yeah, that would be a nightmare. Like, I'm glad I don't do ballet.
But it's just automatically got horror connotations for me because of Dracula.
Yeah, because of Dracula as well. So,
yes, it does. Yeah. I think the third act of Black Swan is, well, the last bit where she's performing.
Yeah.
Is better than the last bit of Perfect Blue, if we're going to compare them that closely.
Yeah.
Because it is the culmination more so.
I thought Perfect Blue was kind of more shocking with it, because like, I didn't really see the stuff with Rumi coming. Like, I thought there was something odd with her, but I didn't expect her to be like completely nuts.
Yeah.
And then like, literally I was lying in bed watching it. I was like, I wasn't expecting the world from it. But then like, it gets to the bit where, spoilers, like the glass breaks and she falls on it and she like impales
herself.
I was like, I was just sat there with my mouth agape. I was like, so it's horrible. What the hell's going on?
That's the difference in them. Black Swan's more body horror and turn into a crow.
It does.
But Perfect Blue's just brutal murders where people's eyes get gouged out. Totally. It's horrible. It's really horrible.
It's because Perfect Blue's an anime as well. Yeah, it doesn't do more with that. Probably why I prefer it slightly, because it's just slightly more badass. Like, they do that sort of like, there's a lot more like, oh, cool shit happens, like anime shit. But but even then, it is just, it's, I think it does it more effectively, like, catches you off guard, grips you, and leads you astray in less time. Like, am I right in thinking Black Swan's like a 2 hour, it's like 2 hours
that's
or something?
What I meant at the start when I said I think it does it more concisely.
It's much more concise,
it's like exactly 90 minutes, isn't it, perfectly?
Pretty much.
It's like pretty much an hour and a half, so it's like, it does it perfectly in that clean, you know, sort of 90 minutes.
That's
doesn't
exactly
need any
you
extra, you know.
Yeah, it's what you want from an anime film, it's what you want from...
It's what you want from any film.
Just any
really.
Film. Any film wants to be 90 minutes. If, as long as it's over, if it's any minute over 90 minutes.
Well, I feel like, no, it's like if your film's going on to 2 hours, 2.5 hours, you need something to like justify it. And I feel like Black Swan, if it was on its own and it was 2 hours, fine, whatever, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when you're basically riffing on Perfect Blue, which does the basically the
same
exact same
thing
but much more, in less time, it sort of becomes a little bit more egregious.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
I totally agree with that, which is another, I mean, that was, it's this is what I mean. It's really good, but it's hard to like take it at face value when deep down you just know there is a better version out there.
It's because everyone knows, that's the thing.
Well,
if Perfect Blue was some obscure film that no one had ever heard of.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, fun fact, this takes inspiration from this. You'd sound like a proper, like... You know,
I
like,
did sound like a proper nerd.
Yeah, you sound like a proper, like, film nerd, right?
Yeah, that was it. And it was just like...
But it's so publicly known, though, now. I think now that we've all seen it, and we're like, oh, yeah, definitely. Like, apologies to you, Jake.
I can't begin to tell you how satisfying it
is. I knew that door had a lock on it!
Yeah, no, that's what I feel like. But, like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's tricky, isn't it? Because it's like, I really don't think Black Swan's a bad film, and I would probably rewatch Black Swan and still really like it.
Yeah.
But it's just so tricky, because it's like, it is just like such a similar film.
It's hard because you can't say anything good about it. Well, Perfect Blue also does this.
I know, that's it. That's what I mean. There's like, there's only a couple of things really that it like does better. Uh-huh. And it's not even so much it does it better. It just does it different. Yeah. Like, which is why it's quite interesting, because it's like, you can watch both of them and be like, and take different things away from them. But at the end of the day,
you take the same thing away from them.
You could say the same thing about anything, and I prefer Perfect Blue. So I don't know.
Oof. This is it. I was trying to defend Black Swan this whole time.
Well,
I don't know if I can.
I'm trying. I am really trying.
I'm trying to get the
I wouldn't say it needs defending, because it is a good film. It's
God.
Like, the general sentiment we keep repeating is, good film, but Perfect Blue does...
There's just a better version of it out there, like, that's the thing.
Animation lends itself quite well to Perfect Blue, like you said as well.
Yeah, that's it.
There are some bits where the extras are cardboard cutouts, but that is the expected of any... hand-drawn anime.
But there's, like, there's all of those, like, those really cool shots, like, the bit where, like, where she sees her reflection, mm-hmm. and it's, like, a different, and the reflection's moving independently, and, like, when all of the little pictures of her start talking to her.
Yes.
Like, and the there's, like, all of those little bits which are, like, a lot more believable in anime, mm-hmm. I think. Like, there's, like, and, you know, they look cool in Black Swan as well. They're
yeah.
suitably freaky and very much, like, oh, this is, like, mm-hmm. very unsettling, but it doesn't quite dig you out as much, I don't think.
Yeah. The incel bloke as well. I don't think you could get the point across so quickly in live action.
Yeah.
No. Well, that was
horrible. Like, you know.
How can you find someone who looks like that?
Yeah, you would struggle.
Like, it works better because they've purposefully drawn everyone else as normal.
And he
and
looks
then
like,
that guy
yeah,
looks
like some sort of bong
he's called out the ocean.
Yeah.
Like,
it's missing Link.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 That's yeah. it though, isn't it? It just lends itself well,
lends
I think.
Lends itself really well, yeah. Like, the animation, the blood, the gore, the...
Yeah.
The bits as well where it blurs the lines of reality and fiction. Like, in Black Swan, if... At the end of Perfect Blue, where Mima's being chased by Rumi and she sees it as the better version of her skipping along, like, jumping.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You would not... That would not work in live
no,
action.
No, it would look stupid.
It would look stupid and terrible.
It would look really bad.
And you just can't emphasize as much in live action as you can with animation.
No,
unless you're really good at camera
yeah.
work. Because yeah. in animation, you can literally draw what you want.
You can just make a camera angle from scratch. And make it, yeah, exactly. You
can
just make it happen where mm-hmm. like you're a bit more limited with, like, yeah. It's still, I mean, it's like Black Swan's a good looking film. It's mm-hmm. shot yeah. very well. And, like, you know, it's good.
It's good, but Perfect Blue's better.
No, I'm like totally.
See, I think that's just sort of like the. I think that's a general sentiment to end on.
Yeah,
like,
if you like, skip to this timestamp in the episode, you'll get the point.
yeah, basically.
Aronofsky in another one of his films as well. I can't remember which one it is. There's a bit in Perfect Blue where she's in the bath.
Yeah.
And just screams.
That's in Black Swan, isn't it?
No, not in Black Swan. It's in another one. It's in a different film.
Are you sure?
It's in a different film of his, shot for shot.
I'm almost certain that happens in Black Swan. Because there's a bit in Black Swan where she's
man.
In the bath and then like her back starts going all itchy again and she's like freaking,
well,
she's tweaking.
But like, you know, the bit, well, it's quite simple in, get that shot's there, but like.
That shot is there.
The shot of being in the bath is there, but she starts turning.
Oh, the one
bird,
where
right?
she's, right.
But she's sat in the bath, head in the water.
And she starts screaming,
then it, like,
which happens.
Then it cuts.
And, yeah.
That exact thing, bit for bit, is in another one of Aronofsky's films.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Like, it's literally
know.
Shot for shot.
Don't get me started on Satoshi Kon's Paprika and how much
oh, I heard
Christopher
Paprika
Nolan
as well,
stole
yeah.
from that for
I am
Inception.
I am fine to shoot Nolan down at any point I can.
Oh, well,
that is
I mean,
topic for another
that'll
day,
be
though.
A whole other episode. I
we'll
could
do another
about.
One of these with
we could,
Paprika and Inception.
Satoshi Kon deserves the credit, man. I uh-huh. mean, his films are brilliant, and Paprika is another really, really good one that's basically just, they just nick the plot of it for Inception. And they just make a sourceless live-action Hollywood mm-hmm. version of the same film.
It's Requiem for a Dream. That's what it is.
Oh, is that an Aronofsky film?
I didn't know that either.
I
no.
was not
no,
aware
it,
that was an
that's
Aronofsky.
In that, yeah.
No wonder I've never watched any of this guy's films. They're all just like really harrowing, depressing, like...
Well, Court Stevens, all right. We just saw that.
Oh, well, that's
it's
true.
Fine. It's
I said,
fine.
I said all right.
Yeah, I might go see that, but...
Yeah, go see that, yeah.
Anyway,
back to the episode.
Yeah, so point is, a lot of that stuff was lifted.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, that's not a criticism I can level at just Aronofsky, because like
no,
I say,
everyone's done that.
Nolan did the same thing. I mean, you know, I love The Matrix, but a lot of the cool parts of that were taken from some cool anime, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of things where it's like... But it's that difference between homage and pastiche versus just... Ooh, I thought that was cool, so I'm going to make that.
Wait, that cool.
I'm gonna make that again without telling anyone and win a load of Oscars, uh-huh. which is basically
yeah.
what...
If he didn't win a load of Oscars, it would have been fine.
It would have been,
it would have
yeah,
been fine.
If it was like
there should be no controversy if he would...
Exactly
so
that,
much.
Because like I say, it's because it's this like mm-hmm. really critically acclaimed like Hollywood classic of the modern yeah. age that everybody loves. But mm-hmm. like I say, if it was a Netflix film called...
Black Swan, not Black
Perfect
Swan.
Blue,
Perfect Blue, yeah.
It would... They wouldn't really have to change much,
no.
and people would hate it. Like they really would. Mm-hmm. So
it's just putting it in the context. If
it's the context, yeah.
I'd never heard
thing.
Of Perfect Blue. Like you said, you were the crazy Perfect Blue conspiracy.
I was the guy who had
saw
all
Black Swan.
My board in my house
yeah, you,
with
you,
all the connections. You know that I had
you
to
were,
make sure.
You were that. I was like, oh, Black Swan's fine. I can't be that. It can't be that much of a like
it's
comparison.
It's so similar, man. There is so much you can compare.
I don't think in my mind though I would have compared them just if I'd seen them both. randomly. Like,
yeah.
But then someone would say, oh, that's a bit like Black Swan, isn't it? Like,
and then,
I'd start cutting the dots and be like, oh my God.
Exactly that. Well, that's it. It's like, it was really annoying because it was more annoying as well when we went to that, you know, when we were at that Comic Con and there's somebody had done a really cool Mima cosplay, like, and she had like blood on her face and everything. It was so cool. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that's such a cool Perfect Blue cosplay. You're all like, Perfect Blue, Perfect Blue again. And I'm like, no, so good. Anyway, but yeah, it's an interesting thing to discuss. And I think they're both very good films.
Yes, they're good in their own right.
Watch them both. Make your own mind up.
Enjoy them.
Enjoy them. Don't let me determine what you think.
Uh-huh. But also, the elephant in the room is still an elephant in the room. It's a very big one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Once you realize you can't really unsee it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's all the mind-boggling antics we've got time for in this episode. Now we pose the question to you. What is your preference if you've seen them? If you haven't, then you should watch them. You can let us know at cineclub.podcast@sparksunderland.com.
And make sure to check out our socials at @thecineclubpodcast_spark on Instagram, @the.cineclub.podcast on TikTok, or The Cineclub Podcast on Facebook. They're all good ways to keep up with the latest podcast developments.
As always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being edited by Emily Main. Special thanks to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler, and Richard Berry. Reminder that our charm singers this week have been me, Jake,
me, Reese,
and me, Billy. This has been a Cineclub production for Spark. Thanks for listening.